Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, September 3rd, 2017. This is episode 1419. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Go to ring.com/techguy and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you could be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/techguy. And by WordPress. Your customers want to find you, so build a WordPress website and help them connect with your business. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at wordpress.com/techguy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, you know, all that stuff with chips in it, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number. We have so many listeners in the Southland, and just we wish you the best. Get out of the area if you're almost 8,000 acres engulfed. I'm sorry, 6,000 acres engulfed in the La Tuna fire. And for those of you listening on KFI, our mothership, of course, we will break in as needed to give you updates on that. So fear not. You will not be uninformed. Hot, hazy, and smoky is the weather forecast. I can tell you that. Wow. And man, just stay safe out there. 8888 Ask Leo, our phone number. A lot of times this show is kind of a great relief from the pressures of the modern day. And yet, there's nothing more modern than technology. At least it's fun, right? At least it's interesting. Website is techguylabs.com. We now know that in 9 days, a week from Tuesday, Apple will announce its new something. Well, this is the worst kept secret ever, right? Everybody kind of knows. But we don't know because Apple doesn't tell anybody for reals. They just they let the rumors fly. I think they'd prefer everybody were in the dark. We kind of know that every September Apple announces a new iPhone. So that's probably, I'm guessing, probably it. The invitation only says come to our place because it is going to be the first event, Apple's announcement event. It's funny how these will be the first event at their new campus. It's funny how these have become events. Other tech companies have tried. You know, Samsung has events. Sonos is going to have an event to announce their new speakers October 4th. The rumor is October 5th, the day after. Google will have its event to announce their phones. But very few of these events attract the attention, the excitement, the interest that an Apple event does. And you got to credit Steve Jobs going way back to really the first Macintosh announcement, which he did in San Jose in a bow tie. And he had the Mac in a case. Remember, have you seen videos? He opens, this is 1984. He opens it up, pulls it out, and it says, "Hello, it's great to be out of the bag." And I think the showman in Steve Jobs really is what made these something special. Prior to that, you just didn't have these kinds of announcements. Companies would put out a press release. Or maybe one of the big trade shows, Comdex for years, now at CES. There's one going on right now in Berlin called IFA, I-F-A. These big trade shows, companies make announcements. In fact, there are quite a few announcements, new PCs and so forth, coming out of IFA this week. But there's nothing like an Apple event. It's part circus, part celebration. It's a party, really. And, of course, the new Apple campus, it's going to be the unveiling of a new iPhone, but also the new Apple campus, which is a pretty big deal. The Apple Park, the spaceship. Have you seen the – it's a giant ring, kind of, wow, over the top not one straight wall on the outside. It's just a curve, very expensive curved glass all the way around. Pretty remarkable sight if you've seen it from there's quite a few, if you look on the YouTube, drone videos of the campus being built over the last couple of years. And there's a special dedicated theater. This is, I presume, where Apple will hold all of its events going forward, in the Steve Jobs Theater, aptly named. And it's kind of cool looking. If you look at the photography, the aerial photography, there's just a round, it's the world's largest carbon fiber roof. They put it in sections like a pie, and it's round. And then there's nothing, it doesn't appear to be anything holding it up except glass, windows. So it's a round roof and then glass all the way around. That is the only visible part because the rest of the place is underground, as appropriate for any evil genius. It's underground. So the press will go in the glass, I presume, get their badges and, you know, register, have some donuts. Apple usually puts out a little, you know, little coffee and pastries. Not donuts, because that's politically incorrect in Silicon Valley. Probably. Well, maybe. Actually, donuts are back now. So maybe it will be donuts. I don't know. And you have your little piece of dough, and you have your coffee. And then there's two escalators descending into the ground. And underground is the theater. I'm told it'll seat 1,000 people. Not me. I'm not invited. But 1,000 of... Well, what Apple likes to do, and any company that does this likes to do, is they try to get a few hundred loyal employees in there. Often the people who designed the product they're announcing. Because they need people, because the press has a bad habit of sitting on their hands. We don't, you know, when you go into an event like this as press, you don't want to be jumping to your feet and cheering. That's not exactly objective. So the press has this, you know, we'll sit there kind of taking notes. So they bring in Apple staff to cheer. And you'll hear, if you, Apple streams the events these days. Ever since the last 6 years, they've been streaming the events, which means you can watch on the internet and watch it. You have to, it's very Apple, you have to have an Apple device to watch it. You need to be using Apple's own browser. It doesn't apparently work on other people's browsers. So if you have a, it's so Apple, isn't it? You can watch our event, but only if you have an Apple device. Yeah, so I'll be watching. We do on our podcast network is we watch the stream and we comment on it. You know, we kind of make snarky comments in the background. So I'll be sitting outside with somebody sent me an email saying with your nose, or tweeted me, I think, with your nose pressed to the glass. Ha ha. Not exactly. I'll be sitting commenting on the Apple stuff. And you'll hear, if you listen to the stream or watch the stream, you'll hear the cheering. Just understand, that's not the press. They'd like you to think it's the press. I hope it's not. I hope it's not the press. Although, you know, Apple invites people that are positive about Apple. So I hope it's not the press. I would assume that it's the Apple employees in there. What will they announce? Well, I could tell you what the speculation is. And as we get this close to an event like this, the speculation's usually pretty accurate. Three phones this time. There'll be an update to the iPhone 7, which is the current iPhone. There'll be the, I don't know what they'll call it, but 7S and 7S Plus. This is what they've done in years past. They have a TikTok cycle. By the way, a cycle which they've kind of had to abandon because what more can you do to a phone these days, right? So the design on the iPhone 7 is pretty perfect. It's very much like the iPhone 6 and 6S. Pretty perfect. So I don't expect the 7S or the 7S Plus to be much different. It's the 10th anniversary iPhone we'll all eyes will be gazing at. And this Apple will be able to charge more for. Speculation is over $1,000. It might be exotic materials. We don't know. It almost certainly will have an OLED screen. Apple's never done that before. They've always used LCD panels, whereas competitors like Samsung use OLED panels. But Samsung makes those, and LG makes those. The competitors make them, and Apple had to contract ahead of time. That's how we know for tens of millions of OLED panels. It'll be like all the phones from this, you know, the newer phones this year and next and from years going forward, what we call almost bezel-free. Right now, the phones most people have a pretty big frame around the screen because you got to put stuff there, you got to hold it. But Samsung's pioneered this. LG's just announced their new VE30, which also has practically no frame, which means you can get a bigger screen without a bigger phone. That's kind of the holy grail, right? You don't want them to be too big to hold in one hand or use with one hand. So it won't probably be physically any bigger than the current iPhone. It might even be a little bit smaller. It'll be taller. It's almost a two to one aspect ratio, twice as tall as it is wide. But it should be a nice screen. Also, new cameras, I'm sure. Maybe super-duper extra special cameras. I don't know. AR, augmented reality, will be featured on these phones. They'll announce new Apple TVs, probably. They'll also talk about a new Apple Watch, a Series 3 watch, which will have an LTE chip built into it so it can get its own data independent of the iPhone. And perhaps other things. We'll find out a week from Tuesday. You can bet we'll be talking about it, too, here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's take some calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888.
This year.
Ask Leo. That's my phone number. When you call, you'll be speaking to the marvelous Kim Schaffer, who is cooling off after our 107 degrees. I love the report on my phone. It says it'll be 10 degrees cooler today, only 97 degrees. It's like, wow.
My car said 110 when I left here at 2.
Yeah, it was hot.
And then I went to Walnut Creek, and it was like 113.
Yeah, a record in San Francisco, the hottest day in not only in that for that date and for any date in history.
106, right?
Yeah, and San Franciscans are funny because they live there because it's cool.
They don't take it.
They don't like it.
And nobody has air conditioning. So.
Right. That's okay. You know, I think people in other parts of the world are laughing at us saying, you think that's hot.
Well, and we also don't have the humidity, which is a huge thing.
It is true.
When I've been to Florida and other places, I'm just miserable because I can't take any either. Like, get me to the ocean.
Well, you're dressed for the occasion. You look cool. We keep air conditioning on here, so you're comfortable.
It's a balmy 65 in here.
And it's a good thing because you're slaving over a hot phone.
Yes, and it is hot today.
Generating calls. Yeah. Look at all these calls.
Yeah, we got Michael San Juan Capistrano, and he needs a tuner for his 4K TV.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Michael. Thank you, Good Kim. One. Hey, Michael. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Thanks for taking my call, Leo.
Thank you for calling.
8 months ago, I bought a 65-inch Vizio P-Series.
Nice. Oh, that's the good one.
And
that's the nice one.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
And I bought a high-def antenna that is hanging outside my eave, pointing at 133 magnetic.
Perfect.
And, yeah, and for 8 solid months, I had no cable bill.
Isn't that nice?
Other than internet.
And by the way, you had the highest quality HD you can get because it's further compressed on the cable or satellite. So you're watching the best you can get.
Far superior to cable.
Yeah. You could tell the difference. Yeah, because I don't see over-the-air TV, so I don't know. But I'm told that it's a lot better.
It's a lot better and the price is right.
Yes.
Anyway, it lasted for 8 months. As you know, the P-Series does not have an internal tuner. And I had to go buy a tuner. And they are inexpensive. They're about $60.
Yep.
They come with a 6-month warranty. And this one I got lasted 8 months. and when I took it apart, the capacitor leaked all over.
Oh, yeah. So get a little bit better one from a brand name.
Well, that's why I'm calling. Yeah. I don't care. What can you recommend?
I don't know. I don't buy tuners, but I would just say, and they shouldn't be expensive. It's a simple thing, but maybe, I don't know, are there brand name tuners? I don't know. I would expect. I have no experience. As I say, I can't even get over the air because of where we are. We're in the middle of nowhere. I have, I think, one UHF channel I could get. But
oh my!
There must be. There must be. Yeah, I'm looking. Mediasonic. Oh, you know, Haupag, HAUPPAUGE is at least a name that I know well from computer days. But the names are like one by one. And View TV and AOB Digital. None of these are brand names, are they? Haupag is really more for computers than it is for your TV set. Wow.
The trouble is, I got a different brand name, but it's the same instruction booklet.
Yeah, well, that's because probably there's one factory in China that makes all of this. And I do not know. Let me see if the chat room or anybody listening knows. I would, you know, what I always do for commodity products like this, I avoid places like Amazon. and I go to places like Monoprice. Monoprice, at least, I mean, they're probably doing the same stuff, because what Monoprice is a low-cost source of technology gear and mostly connectivity and tuners and stuff like that. But at least they stand behind it. I think they're a good company in terms of standing behind their products. Let me just see. Yeah, they sell the Hapag stuff. But, yeah, I would look at Monoprice. By the way, these aren't expensive devices, but at least Monoprice will have the lowest price out there. They don't mark this stuff up. This is kind of the nature of consumer electronics at that end. Converters, connectors, cables. They're mostly made by one or two companies in China, purchased in the U.S. and rebranded. If you look at a company like Belkin, well-known, I'm sure Belkin has a TV tuner, but they don't make TV tuners. They buy the same TV tuner you get from Mediasonic in China, and they put the Belkin brand. They slap the Belkin brand on it. On the other hand, if you get it from a name company like Belkin, at least they're going to stand behind it. Who are you going to call if the Chinese device breaks? Let me see if Belkin sells a TV tuner. They sell a lot of this kind of stuff. Yeah, they do. So they sell the Dial, D-Y-L-E trademark, mobile TV receiver. I don't know what that is, but makes live broadcast television available without an internet connection. Did you see the article in the Wall Street Journal? I thought this was out of The Onion a couple of weeks ago. Millennials discover new way to get TV free. They got an antenna, and they interviewed these kids in their 20s. I didn't know this still was around. You can get, did you know you put an antenna up and you can get TV free? They were like shocked. It is probably the best way to do this. Monoprice has a lifetime warranty, so I'd go to monoprice.com first. The folks who do the HD Home Run, Silicon Dust, apparently sell a broadcast tuner. You want an OTA, over-the-air tuner. I wonder if Hapag does a standalone. Channel Master, they make DVRs for over-the-air, and they may also make a tuner. So I'm getting some good feedback from our chat room, which they're notoriously cheap. They knew about free TV. No surprise to them. Amazing. You can get, did you know there's TV floating through the air all the time? And all you need is this little device, and you can watch it at no cost to you. The Wall Street Journal article titled, Millennials Unearth an Amazing Hack to Get Free TV. The antenna. Wow, those millennials. Is there anything they can't do? I think that's actually, I shouldn't perpetuate this. There's a definite trend among the media, which is mostly old folks like me, to diss people in their 20s, to mock them. These kids today. And I think millennials are, I asked my daughter who's a millennial and my son who's a millennial. They knew about antennas. What they do with these articles is they find somebody who's really just dumb. And then they say, look, here's a millennial. See how dumb they are? And it makes us old folks feel well. So I apologize. I thought it was an Onion article when I first saw the headline. I thought, you're joking, aren't you? Millennials discovered amazing hack to get free TV. So I don't have a particular recommendation, but there's a number of things. And I as usual with stuff like this, I always, my default is monoprice.com. Thanks, Michael. 8888-ASK-LEO. Millennials discover food. Did you know you could cook your own food? You don't have to go to McDonald's? 8888 Ask Leah. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Go ahead.
Leah, I'm 32 and I make fun of 20-year-olds.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
And I don't, it's not really fair. I mean, you were dumb when you were 22, right?
Yeah,
we all were.
Kind of dumb.
It's, you know, it's old people going, oh, those kids today, I swear. I had to laugh, though. At least the quotes in here were hysterical. Dan Sisko has discovered a technology that allows him to access half a dozen major TV channels completely free. I was kind of surprised this technology exists, says Mr. Cisco, 28 years old. It's been awesome. It doesn't log out, and it doesn't skip. Now, see, Cisco, so they're quoting him from his Twitter, and he knows better. This was an ironic tweet. See, millennials get irony. I swear, I tell you, it's just an easy thing to tease them. Millennials discover fire. Millennials discover free money after working several hours. That's a good one. Friendly Manitoba. It's not so different from Pollock jokes. In the 20s, they call them little moron jokes, where they were just jokes about people who are stupid. We had blonde jokes, right? Now it's millennial jokes. We're just annoyed that you're young. You got your whole life ahead of you. We're just mad about that. That's all. We're just jealous. Exactly. Alex C. says, there are times I get mad at the millennial articles and I realize it's just some old fart writing it trying to stay relevant. Exactly. New fee jokes, right? Exactly, in Canada. No, my kids are pretty bright, and they're definitely technologically savvy. Henry's 22. That's a millennial, right? He was born in 94. He grew up with the internet. He might be iGen. Abby's 25. She's born in 92. Well, but one thing, I'll tell you, one thing Henry and Abby don't do very well is read an analog watch face. Can you kids read, like, minute hands and second? Of course you can. No, Dad says you can't. Because it's all digital. Of course we can. Dad says no. My kids can't. Abby has a little hard time with watch faces. I'm sure she can by now, but, you know. When you grow up with digital your whole life, why should you learn a watch face? And watch, people won't be able to read a map soon, right? You just ask your phone where to go. Yeah, but then when I drive, I get lost. If I don't have a good map, I get lost. Or I follow the map and I get in the wrong spot. I've lived in my area all of my 34 years, and I still don't know where many places are. But if you ask me how to set up your Kindle Fire, Samsung tablet, iPad, I can do it and program your ancient VCR. Mm-hmm. See? No blinking 12s on there. Medio bench. RCA makes them still. DTA 880. Although I'm guessing that's not RCA anymore, right? For our many listeners in Southern California, don't worry. We're keeping an eye on the Latuna fire. Terrible, terrible. What is it? Almost 5,000, almost 6,000 acres burning in and getting close to Burbank and a lot of population centers. Houses are being engulfed in flame. A terrible fire and, of course, very smoky. I'm told that I just was talking to the program director from KFI, our mothership. Robin tells me that from the roof of the KFI building, you can see the flames in the hills of Burbank. And that's scary. So please stay safe, take care of yourself, consider the air and the quality, because there's a lot of smoke in there. Maybe stay inside and to keep an eye on things. And of course, if you're listening to our mothership station, KFI, they'll break in anytime there's more news. Don't worry about that. But meanwhile, somebody in the chat room is telling me it's the largest fire in LA's history. Whew. And of course, when it's this hot, and mostly this dry, these fires can be very deadly in California. But this, for the time being, we'll think of brighter, happier thoughts, right? Tech, 8888, Ask Leo. The phone number, we're talking about computers, the internet, home theater, smartphones. Some very big names are coming out with new smartphones in the next couple of weeks. I mentioned Apple, LG. Everybody's very excited about the VE30. And this phone, which, by the way, has some very nice features, including, of course, that giant screen that fills up the face of the phone, may be the template for what Google announces soon. Google has, it's believed, is going to do an event in early October to announce its new Android phones. I like Google for Android phones because they make Android. They're the kind of the source of Android. And so your Android phones from Google tend to get updated faster and stay updated longer than other Android devices. So the Pixel 2 will be of great interest. And the rumor is that HTC will make the small version and the Pixel XL will be made by LG, probably very similar to the LG's VE30 platform. We'll also see new phones. I will get in the next couple of days. I finally got my shipping notice from a company called Essential. This is the guy who invented Android, Andy Rubin, and his new company. He was at Google for years. They bought his company Android and open sourced it, made it the most popular operating system for phones in the world by far, by giving it away. Yeah, Rubin left Google a year or two ago and started something called Essential, and this is his first product, the Essential phone, made of titanium and ceramic. So I'll let you know about that next week. And, of course, the Note 8 was announced by Samsung last week and in a beautiful event. That was actually a week and a half ago now, wasn't it? And that should be coming out in the next week or so. I think they said September 15th. And I know a lot of you are Note fans. I've been a Note fan since the very first Note. Love that phone. So there's a lot of new stuff to talk about. Moving on, though, to Tim in Temecula. Hi, Tim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So I called a couple of weeks ago, and I have a Surface that was starting to have problems.
Yes.
and I was calling. I looked online, and people were complaining that Microsoft wasn't supporting them, and I called, and Kim said, oh, no, the guy that... That was the first call yesterday. Was this ranting and raving about how good the...
It was kind of a mixed bag because he went to the store and they said, nah, 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 and he finally called them and got a replacement. Yeah.
Right. And so that's what I ended up doing. And I was just calling to say that it was unbelievably great service.
Good.
Some pictures of the screen that was bent, and then they sent a 5-gallon bucket to ship it back in with instructions. Make sure you don't put this on a plane. And
so you had the battery problem that our caller last time had.
Right.
It swells up. These lithium-ion batteries, prior to failure, start to swell, and that's what will happen. The case will buckle. You'll see a swelling. This is not unusual. Apple's had to replace laptops because of that. Oh, Sony has. Almost every company has. But and I've said this many times, but I'll reiterate, every device can have problems, you know. It's not that they are problem-free, although that's certainly a bonus. But it's how the company responds. And if the company responds quickly and authoritatively and gives you what you need to get it fixed, like a new laptop, then I think that's good. We saw that the failure rates on the surfaces were very high, 17% return rate in the first year, which is outrageous. But remember, Microsoft's never made a laptop before. This is a new business for them. And it's not unusual when a company enters a new business that they have some stumbles. I think they make good stuff. Did you have the Surface Pro? What did you have?
I do. I have the Surface Pro. And I'll tell you, the first thing that I noticed is that when you close it, it snaps shut. Yeah. And the magnets close it. And that stopped working. And I thought, oh, okay, it's just one of those things. It's, you know, Microsoft's laptop, blah, blah, blah. But it was because the screen was actually starting to bend.
Right. It was changing the structure, the physical structure of it. Yeah, I mean, I think that they've solved these problems. They say they have. We'll see. You know, we'll see. I mean, even Samsung. How many phones does Samsung make? And the Note 7, similar problem. I mean, that's the problem. You put too much lithium-ion battery in too small a space, it expands, it can short out, and it can cause a fire. And that's what was happening with the Note 7. So even expertise may not save you. We're demanding so much now. We want so much battery life in such a thin device that we're really asking an awful lot. And companies have to be extra careful, I think. So I'm glad to hear that they stood up for you. Thank you for letting us know. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Leo.
All right, Tim. And you know, it's interesting because you note that they were very careful about shipping it back. They probably shifted Surface. Most airlines will not accept damaged lithium ion. No airline I know of will accept it. And if you ever get any of these devices now, have you noticed? And I think this is because of the Note 7. big warning labels on the box. I just got a drone, a Mavic Pro drone, which came with lithium-ion batteries. Big warning labels now on the boxes for airlines that say lithium batteries inside. Be careful. And so the problem is, you know, lithium-ion batteries, people are worried about them. But the problem is everything has them. So you can't really say, we're going to ban lithium-ion batteries. That's what's in your phone. That's what's in your laptop. That's what's in your, you know, everything. Your drone, your robot vacuum, your scooter, your Segway. They're all lithium-ion batteries. What you want is something that's well-made. And there's always a risk, even with somebody, you know, like Samsung, who certainly knows lithium-ion batteries. The story goes, and I think this is probably the case, that there was pressure on Samsung to get the Note 7 out fast. They wanted to put a lot of battery life in it, so they gave it a big battery. You notice the Note 8 has a much smaller battery this time around. So they gave it too big a battery for that thin case, and that caused problems. Consumer Reports, in fact, dinged the Surface. Consumer Reports does a survey of its members every year. I find this valuable. A lot of people say, oh, I don't trust Consumer Reports for electronics reviews. And maybe that's true. They're not, they're not PC Magazine. They're not CNET. They're not Engadget. But they do have a data point that no one else has, which is this annual survey of subscribers on reliability. When you read a review online, you're reading a reviewer's take on it after a couple of weeks. What Consumer Reports knows is how it's been after a year, and they dinged the Surface, all the Microsoft Surfaces, because of poor reliability. And in fact, that was accurate. But it's good to know Microsoft stands behind their devices. That's the most important thing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We didn't start the fire.
This year, thousands of victims are going to
You got to listen. Back. When you listen to the show and you hear the music, you got to always think, what is Michael Cozio? What message is he sending? He tries to pick songs when we come back that are appropriate. And I think this is, We Didn't Start the Fire. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. This is something I should probably mention. Anything that stores energy sufficient to run something for a period of time, whether it's batteries, a tank of gas, hydrogen, anything you can combust and create a lot of energy is going to be relatively dangerous if you can control the combustion or the chemical reaction, in the case of lithium ion that gives us energy. If you can control it and keep it damped down, it's the same with a nuclear reactor. As long as you can control it, it's harmless. When it goes out of control, you've got a lot of energy stored in there. And that's why a lithium-ion battery can explode, literally, boom, because all an explosion is a rapid release of energy. So, sometimes people say, oh, they look at a Tesla with all those batteries underneath and say, oh, that's dangerous. Well, it's actually not any more dangerous than your tank of gas, frankly. You're driving around on a bomb. The only issue is, can we control it and keep that chemical reaction at a safe rate? Because if it speeds up, boom. So if you think about it, that's really all it is. It's not that lithium ion is some sort of dangerous technology. Any battery technology is dangerous if it gets out of control. And I don't think lithium ion is more prone to that. We just think about it. We just have more lithium ion batteries. Look around. See how many of your devices are rechargeable. Those are almost all lithium ion. Nobody makes nickel metal hydride or nickel cadmium batteries anymore. They're all lithium ion. 8888, ask Leo the phone number. We go on to John in Oxnard, California. Hi, John.
Hi. You got to wonder how they put batteries that blow up in a 787.
Well, in fact, that was a problem, wasn't it? Was it the Dreamliner or the 777?
The Dreamliner.
Yeah, they recalled it, right?
Yep.
Because of the lithium-ion
batteries. Well, they had a few of them burn up.
Yeah.
But the reason I called was that discussion about the tuners for the Vizio.
Yes.
I've seen those videos, and actually, I wish more companies would market tunerless because they're cheaper. And
I agree.
Most people don't need it.
I don't even want a smart TV. I want the best panel I can get and let me do everything else.
Yeah, well, that's why I got old plasmas.
Yeah. Nobody's anyway, doing that anymore because it's so cheap to put smart electronics in and to put a tuner in that most of them do it. Although, I think a tuner probably is the first thing you're going to leave out. You know what they also are leaving out, which surprises me, is headphone jacks. They're leaving out the analog to digital converter.
Right.
Digital to analog converter. And that saves them money, I guess. But I like having an analog out from a TV.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk to you is that TiVo makes a Romeo, which is strictly over the air.
Yes.
There's no monthly fee for it.
Ah.
One terabyte unit.
TiVo is the king of the DVR. There's nobody does it better.
That would kill two birds with one stone if the person is inclined to want a DVR.
Good point. I should have mentioned that. Yeah. That's a very good point. And the best DVRs, don't use your cable company's DVR. The best DVRs are TiVo. I have three TiVos in the house. But I didn't realize that there's a OTA Romeo. That's nice.
If you look on Amazon, I think they want maybe $400 for it. But I imagine you can get it, maybe cheaper.
Well, the thing makes TiVo so expensive is that cable guide subscription, the TV guide subscription is expensive.
Right. And this one, they say it's strictly over the air, not cable, and that there's no monthly fee.
Nice. That's the one to get. Thank you for the tip. I appreciate it. You see, we're all helping each other here. We're all helping out. Brian, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I am hanging in like a hair in a biscuit.
Yum. how delicious.
Listen, real easy, real simple. I've called you several times before, getting stuff set up on my Mac. Stuff I want to use as tools for work in, but the biggest thing that I'm looking for that would really help me in a lot of things that I do. For instance, I love how Command Spacebar brings up your search on a Mac.
Look, I love that Spotlight call it. I love that.
Exactly, use it all the time.
I think a lot of people don't know that exists. The most valuable tip ever is this. On a Mac, you hit Command Space, start typing the document or the app you want to run in the first few letters. You'll find it, hit it, hit return, and it's running. You don't have to dig through folders. On the PC, exactly. It's even easier. You hit the Windows key, type the first few letters, hit return, boom.
Yeah, and I don't even have icons on my desktop. I just Command Space Bar.
Right.
I would like to have that version somehow in some sort of note tool. I don't want Evernote. It's got too much. I don't need all that. I need something.
The guys at Evernote are weeping.
I get a phone call. Yeah, I get a phone call, and he gives me a bit of information.
Yeah, you want to quickly enter it. Sure.
I want to quickly enter. I want something that keeps all that data in one place. I can – the big thing, and we talked about this before, the big thing I want to be able to do is tag it.
Yes. Taxonomy is so huge.
Yeah, I want to be able to tag it because basically what I do is every few hours I stop, look back at my notes and say, okay, I want to tag that. I want to keep that. Oh, yeah, I don't need that anymore. I'm done. Delete it.
What you almost certainly want is something that not only is on your desk, has these features, and most note-taking tools will do all this, but has a persistent icon in the menu bar with a command key, Command-Shift-N. Or whatever that will.
I don't even need it in the command. I don't even need it as an icon. I want to get to it quick, do what I need, and get out of it, and I'm done. I don't even need to tag it. Then I can tag it later,
at
the end of the day.
That's right. So there are a lot of choices here, and the chat room's throwing out a bunch of choices too. Of course, the free choice that comes off the top of my head comes out is Google's Keep. Google Keep is getting better and better all the time.
I haven't even heard of that.
I know. Oh. Yeah, Google. Thank you, Google. They have so many tools. Keep, KEEP.google.com. If you use Chrome, it has a Chrome extension that will, quickly pop up and let you take notes. But it has lots of features. It, of course, they call it labels, as Google wants to do. There's Simple Note. There's Bare Note. There's Scrivener for people who want to do more research-focused. You sound like a sales kind of guy. Quip from Salesforce is a good choice. I'm going to put a whole long list. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll put it on the show notes. I could go on and on and on. I think what most people do is they try it. Now, I use...
I'm an IT guy, by the way.
Oh,
IT.
You...
I get hit with things in emails. And unfortunately, I would love some tool that could, you know, I could flag an email.
Now, did you, which mail program did you end up picking?
I'm still sticking with Airmail 3.
Airmail.
Like it.
Don't they have...
However, it doesn't do the tagging like
it doesn't.
To. The only thing it'll tag is Gmail.
So what you want, and there's some mail programs will do this, what you want is a mail, you're telling me that a lot of your stuff, your notes come from emails. You want a mail program that'll go right to notes, that you like save this as a note, save this as a to-do list. I'm surprised Airmail doesn't do that. I would look and see. Certainly Apple's mail has a notes capability.
Yeah, maybe even highlight something in the text and I just
right.
Hit that command
and say, make that a note. Yes. Yeah, because frankly, you're not alone. That is probably the single most common to-do list feature is I get stuff to do in my email. I want a way to, you know, say, make sure that gets done. If this, then that, some people use as a, I'm looking at the chat rooms, they say that some people use. The thing about Google Keep, you can use the Amazon Echo. I would like, I agree with you, it should be something I can get from my notes, but wouldn't it be awesome if you have a voice capability to say, hey, make a note, I got to do this by 3.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about Google Keep, I tend to stay away from Google Keep, I don't know what it is yet, but I tend to stay away from Google. I'm a privacy freak, and I don't...
Okay, so there are also self-hosted
information and do stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Google's business is advertising. They give you free stuff because they want to use it for advertising.
Right.
There's no advertising in Keep, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'd have to. They will tell you. They're very forthright about what they do in privacy. You'll have to look at the Keep privacy. But my guess would be that they look at keywords for advertising and other sources. I'm going to give you a couple of things that are self-hosted that you might be interested in, since you're an IT guy. And that's the ultimate in privacy, right? I use, for instance, a Synology NAS, which has an excellent Evernote replacement. Does everything Evernote.
So what was the name of it again?
Synology, but you need the Synology hardware, S-Y-N-O-L-O-G-Y. If you use Nextcloud or OwnCloud, they have their own note-taking solution. In both these cases, it's stored on your NAS, not in the cloud. Encrypted, so no one's seeing your notes.
Now, the nice thing it sounds like about that is I could back it up to the cloud possibly.
If you wanted to, but it's already encrypted. And Synology's tool has iOS and Android apps as well, so your notes are always there. They're always available. I'm going to show you another one called Turtle that is very popular self-hosted solution, T-U-R-T-L, that is a great place for notes, everything. You could use it for password storage because it's very encrypted, very secure. And running a Turtle server is fairly easy. So this would be one if you have your own server somewhere. The Synology, you've got to buy it. You know, you've got to buy the hardware. But the Turtle is open source, free. And I can't remember what platform it's running. It's probably Node.js, but I don't remember. But you can easily run it on your own server. I did for a while, and so it's a very simple. So this is another one that I would take a look at.
Okay.
So there are. This is probably one of the most common requests. People like taking notes. And there's everything from Apple's Sticky Notes, which is the most primitive solution, all the way up. What's your primary operating system? As you said, Mac, right?
Yeah, I work in IT. Unfortunately, all my tools and stuff are Windows 7.
Okay.
So I'm using Parallels on one screen, and my other screen I stay Mac. But yeah, it's Parallels running, Windows running on Parallels on the Mac.
So you'd want something that's Windows compatible as well. The Synology is...
No, I don't need it as much in work as not in work, believe it or not. That might surprise you, but...
It sounds like you get a lot of task assignments from email. I would look... We're back looking for good email for you, but I am shocked that Airmail doesn't have a very simple email to tasks or email to notes solution. I mean, Apple Mail does that.
Right. Right now what I'm doing is because there's no flags or anything like that, right now what I'm doing is I'm just starring them. Anything that I need to keep looking at, I star it.
That's frustrating. You want something better than that.
Yep. Which surprised me. It's because you did mention another one that was very basic, and I tried it, and I don't know.
Yeah.
There was one that did do the tagging, but it was very.
Yeah. Airmail focuses on elegance. And that mean to me, that means it doesn't do so many things. Somebody's mentioning there's SimpleNote, which has been around for an awful long time. There's somebody's mentioning standardnotes.org. Let me look at that one. That sounds like an open source.
I never heard of that one.
I haven't either. But this is where the chat room excels. Your Notes for Good. It's the 100-year notes app, durable, syncs with all your devices, encrypts, backs up your notes. Oh, this looks good. This looks good. Mac, Windows, Linux, iOS, Android, web. Wow.
Well, I'm looking at it too as well, but the key thing to that is how easy is it to start up, do your note, and get out.
Right. I agree. That's like what you want. The Evernote has that web clipping capability. SimpleNote, I think.
But it's just the web.
No, Evernote's local, but you're right. You have to store it on their cloud. That's why I would look at the Synology. Well, you don't have a Synology. So I would look at Turtle. That's pretty capable. Okay. Open source tools. You know, I mean, real geeks use Emacs org mode, but I don't think I want to tell people.
I'm not.
That's, by the way, Bo, that's what it ends up being, right? Because you start reading your email in Emacs, and now you're using org mode, and everything's piped. You know, you basically never leave Emacs, and your fingers do all the work because they've memorized all the arcane keystrokes. And so everything, and if you watch somebody who's used org mode for a few years, you could see why they do.
Here's a question about Turtle, though, is 2 to 3 days a week I'll go work from the coffee shop.
It's on the web as well. It's on the web as well. So, but it's your web. That's why you have to host it. So it's got a web interface.
Oh, so it's almost like I have several web. I have a website.
Yeah, it's a website, basically.
Memorializes my dad in the military, and I use Word. I'm going to blank. Word, what is it?
WordPress. Yeah. So Turtle isn't a website. It's a note. It's kind of like your own website, but it's note-taking focused. It's really amazing.
Right, but what I meant was, it sounds like what you're saying is it's almost like you run Turtle on their server.
Not their server, your server. So you have to install it just like you did WordPress. You have to. It's very much like installing WordPress, and it's free and it's forever. And they say iOS coming soon, but they've got Android, Linux, OS 10, and Windows apps, desktop and mobile apps, bookmarking extensions for Chrome and Firefox. If you did your email in your browser, that'd make it very easy. I installed Turtle and played with it for a while. I was very impressed, but since I have a Synology NAS, I use that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm running those websites on HostMonster, so I wonder if Turtle will
work. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. That's interesting.
I'd have to find out.
Hey, Brian, nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
To-do text is awesome. Love to do text. Thank you, Gina. I have not used Emacs or I've used it, but I have not proficient at it. I would like to be proficient at it. That would be the ultimate. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches. Augmented reality, anything with a chip in it, any kind of technology at all, you give me a ring if you got a question. We've been getting some good help from people today. That's nice, too. Suggestions, more than welcome. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number, 888-827-5536. Of course, we're keeping an eye for our friends in the Southland on the massive fire, largest fire in L.A.'s history, Little Altoona fire, engulfing 6,000 acres, many homes. At risk, and for those of you listening on our mothership KFI, they wanted me to let you know that they will break in as needed to cover that fire. So please, we stay safe, but keep listening because we like it if you're here. 8888-ASK-LEO. The website, I put everything we talk about on the website, and I encourage you to add your comments too. That's free, no sign up. TechGuyLabs.com If you leave comments, we ask you log in with your Twitter or your Facebook or your Google, you know, account. You just press that button to identify yourself, and that's just to prevent spam. But that is a great place if you're, you know, after the fact, you say, oh, what did he say? You can find everything I say there. After the fact, we put audio and video of the shows up there, thousands of shows, lots of information. It's got a very good search engine, so you can search it. And it's a great place for you to go if you say, oh, I got a great note-taking tool, for instance, for Brian, our caller last hour. I've got a great note-taking tool. Here's an idea. Put it there. That really adds to it. That really makes it a more useful tool. And that's why we make it free. I don't want to make money on that. I want to be that to be a tool for all of us to use. Me too. Back to the phones from Santa Rosa. Gabby's on the line. Hi, Gabby.
How you doing, Leo?
I'm well. Or is it Gabby?
It's Gabby.
Gabby, welcome. What can I do for you?
So, I, like you, have a passion for technology, gadgets, and cooking.
You could tell, could you? I also have a passion for eating.
Yeah, me too. I followed your advice, and I purchased an Nova sous vide a while ago.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Isn't that amazing?
And it is. It really.
So this is a device. It's actually inexpensive. It's a recirculator, and it keeps a water bath at exactly the same temperature for as long as you want. And the reason you would do that is you can seal meat or vegetables or anything in there and cook it at a very precise temperature for a very long time, usually a very low temperature. And so you can get, for instance, meat perfectly rare every time. The only problem with sous vide is it looks terrible afterwards. So typically people will sous vide. For instance, if I have a nice steak, I'll sous vide at 135 degrees, very low, for a few hours. That cooks the steak all the way through. It's safe, but it looks gray. And then you throw it on the grill or you sear it on the in a pan and you give it that nice crust. And then you have a perfect steak. And this is what restaurants do. It's a wonderful technique. And a fairly inexpensive one, too.
Yeah, they got them for like $100 right now.
I know. That's why I bought it
actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I bought it on the Amazon Prime Day, you know, because it was $100. I said, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm finally going to do this.
So my question isn't about the Nova, actually, but, I mean, it's because of it. So my lady doesn't really like it that much because she prefers a smokier flavor, like from a smoker or a barbecue.
Sure.
And I recently purchased a smoker. And
it's, by the way, the best way in the world to make barbecue.
Yeah.
So what you do with a sous vide for barbecue, the reason barbecue exists is because if you have a cheap meat, it's very tough. A flank steak or a brisket, it's very tough. It's inexpensive, but it's very tough. So barbecue cooks over smoky coals for hours and hours and hours. Low and slow, very low temperature, very long cooking. Does that sound familiar? So you can do the same thing. I've done a brisket in the sous vide. You cook it for like 13 hours. You'd have to do it the day before, obviously. And then you throw it on a smoky grill. And, you know, I use a Big Green Egg. And I don't know how we got into this. We're talking cooking now, aren't we? But I put applewood chips on there. You know, they let them smoke. And your lady will never know the difference. I've even seen people put liquid smoke in the sous vide bag. It really works.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm going to get back to the technology aspect.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Which is, so I purchased a Bluetooth thermometer. It's called an iGrill.
iGrill, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I like it. It really works for me, particularly when I'm doing long smokes. But my question is, I want to be able to walk away and not use this device on Bluetooth. I prefer to, like, be able to use it on Wi-Fi. And the reason why is because I'm putting something to smoke for a long time, and I'm constantly having to call my lady and say,
yeah.
What's the temperature?
Because Wi-Fi only goes 100 feet or so.
Right, but I was hoping that there would be a device that would allow me to, like, remotely check in. You know, like if I put my Bluetooth on a Wi-Fi network, and then I could.
Right. By the way, the Anova sous vide, they have a Wi-Fi version for exactly that reason.
So, you know, and I have the Wi-Fi version, yeah. And that never has worked for me.
Probably. Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
So there are Wi-Fi smart thermometers, and I see on Kickstarter there are a bunch of projects. You're not alone on this. So I noticed that Williams-Sonoma, and I trust them, because they're a big cooking store, does sell a Wi-Fi enabled leave-in probe thermometer that works with Android or iOS. They call it the Williams-Sonoma Smart Thermometer 2. So I haven't tried this. I use a Bluetooth iGrill. But you're absolutely right. Wouldn't it be nice to know? Because the problem is, of course, if the thermometer says, "Oh, it's getting hot in here," you got to go home.
Well, no. At least then I could just tell my lady.
You could call her up and say, "Hey, could you turn the heat down?"
I don't have to call her every 15 minutes or half hour and be like, "What temperature is it?" So with this Wi-Fi thermometer, will I be able to check it from a remote location?
Yes.
Not in my Wi-Fi. In my home Wi-Fi range, it's from a remote location.
Right. What it should say is internet connected, not just Wi-Fi, but internet connected. Amazon has something they call the Tapiq, and the chat room, Scooter X in the chat room's recommending this Wi-Fi barbecue thermometer with mobile apps. Let me just make sure it works over the internet. So you're right. Wi-Fi is enough, but you also need to have internet access, and that's not clear on some of these. These are expensive. They seem to range from $150 to $200. Here's one. Let's see. I'm just looking at some other ones. ThermoWorks. This is all the chat room recommending this. This is why we have a chat room at techguylabs.com. ThermoWorks. Let me take a look at this one. ThermoWorks.com. Monitoring temperatures with a leave-in barbecue thermometer. Yep. And the question is, do they have an internet-enabled one? I know my Big Green Egg, there's a number of people who make smoker tools for keeping the temperature consistent. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to put a list of the ones. I haven't tried it. I'll be honest with you. I haven't tried any of them. So I'm not giving you a personalized recommendation. But we'll put a list at techguylabs.com because we've got quite a few thanks to the chat room. And I'm coming up your way because you're not so far off, and I'd like to taste this barbecue. I was pretty pleased. I did a tri-tip with the barbecue, the rub in the sous vide for a long time, 13 hours, and then smoked it slowly but not as long on a Big Green Egg, and I considered it quite good. But, people are funny with barbecue, aren't they? Everybody has their own opinion on that one. But we will give you some recommendations here. So Williams-Sonoma, the ThermoWorks, the Tapiq, all of these are Wi-Fi enabled. And I would just make sure, as you say, that it's internet enabled as well. That'll do it over the internet before you buy it. For $200, seems like it oughta. You got an advice? If we're talking barbecue. Hey, it's Labor Day weekend. Let's do it. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's the Leo Laporte Cooking Show. Thanks, Gabe. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? That's a hoot. Hey, let me talk, as long as we're talking about the great outdoors, about my doorbell. It's literally out my door. It's the Ring. I was looking for it, and I remember now I gave it to Mike Elkin. He actually had a really good tip for the Ring Video doorbell. He said, if you have an Airbnb, if you rent out your place, you should absolutely have a Ring Video doorbell. Then you'll know when your guests arrive, when they leave. You can keep an eye on anything outside your door. Ring is amazing. And by the way, they are growing. So it all started, and for me, a couple of years ago when I got the Ring Video doorbell, I replaced my doorbell at my house with it. And I can see when, I get motion alerts when somebody walks by. I just got one, by the way. Somebody walks by. When somebody rings the doorbell, I can answer it and say, hey, what do you want? And if it's a bad guy, that usually scares him away pretty good. You can also say, hey, if it's a, UPS guy, you say, leave it there, and then keep an eye on the package. I love this. Today, over 1 million people use the amazing Ring Video doorbell. In fact, if you read about Ring neighborhoods, they've started to put them out. They have a new neighborhood beta feature, you have to agree to it, where you can keep an eye, your neighbors will keep an eye on your front porch and you'll keep an eye on their front porch. They did this in Wilshire Park down in LA. They gave Ring Video doorbells to 10% of the homes. 1 in 10 had a Ring, but that's all they needed. Reduced burglaries in 6 months by more than half. And that Ring Neighborhoods was born. I just love Ring. And they've gone a little bit farther now. They have security cameras, same technology. They've got a high-def camera, speakers, motion sensors, microphones. And the floodlight cam has a motion-activated floodlight on it. So that's your first line of defense. If somebody walks down the alley in your house, the lights come on. You've seen that before. That's a nice feature. It's good for you, too. You can see where you're going. But if that's not enough to scare people away, you also can see who it is. So those lights come on and you get a ping on your phone, no matter where you are, anywhere in the world, saying somebody's out in your backyard. You can look. You can speak to them. Say, get away from there. And if that doesn't work, you can press a button and sound a 110 decibel alarm. The spotlight cam. The spotlight cam also supported a solar camera, a solar panel rather, so you don't ever have to even wire it. Oh, man, this is awesome. They've got a great range of things. Here's what you should do. Go to ring.com/techguy, and you can save up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit, including the Ring video doorbell and your choice of 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams. And the Ring works, by the way, with Amazon's Echo, your favorite smart locks and hubs. This is, I'm telling you, for Airbnb, for anybody who just wants to keep an eye on their property, this stuff is great. Give it to your... I gave one to my mom, so she wouldn't have to get up and answer the doorbell every time somebody, some kid rang it. Ring.com/tech guy, Wall Street Journal's Best of CES this year, 2017, and rightly so. These guys are amazing. R-I-N-G, ring.com/tech guy for up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. Leo Laporte, let's have a party, huh? It's barbecue time. The tech guy. Labor Day weekend. I promise I won't wear my white pants, my white shoes, my white belt after today. I promise. 8888, ask Leo. Joe on the line from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Joe.
How you doing today, Leo?
I'm well. Thanks for hanging on.
A couple of things first. You talk about the millennials and discovering, you know, live television.
Yeah.
What would they think of radio that you don't even have to have a battery for?
Like a crystal radio, you mean?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. You're taking me back now. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got hooked on electronics and electricity when I was about 2 years old and stuck a bobby pin in an AC outlet.
Oh, Lord. Well, I'm glad you survived. This is not a recommended procedure.
I used to play with Leyden jars and
fun.
Induction coils in school and
freak
teachers out when I grab hold and short out an induction coil with my hands. So.
Oh, that, you know what? That's, electricity is amazing. And if you know what you're doing, it's safe. But you got to know what you're doing, so don't.
Yeah. And on your cooking thing that you were just talking about, I've got a wood-fired brick oven on my patio.
Of course you do. You live in Tennessee. You have to. Isn't that a zoning requirement?
No, I just love baking bread and doing pieces and stuff. So I
there's
built
nothing
a
like
huge
that.
Wood-fired brick oven on my patio.
There is nothing like that. It's the only way to cook, to bake. It's just amazing, and it's the best pizza ever. Good friend of mine, Mike Elgin, had one of those, and it's just amazing. That is a selling point.
Yeah. Anyway, my question today is, I use Windows 7 on this particular computer as my desktop, and about a month ago, I started getting this tab popping up on screens. It can be in Facebook. It can be on stuff I'm just surfing on, like on the web. And I'll get this blue download tab. It'll pop up on top of images. And sometimes there'll be two or three of them show up. And if I right-click on them and you look at properties, it's referring to the link that I'm on. I have no idea where this is coming up from. I run the ESET NOD 32, and
malware is not going to do that. What's the point of doing that? That's just, you know, Windows is funny that way. Sometimes weird things like that. So you're looking at a web page, and a tab pops up.
Yeah, right on top of on the image, and it may show one, it may show or two or three of them.
That does sound like a browser extension. And then that's so you could download the image directly.
Yeah. But I have no idea how that came on there because I'm picky about, you know, anything I want to download.
What browser are you using?
I use IE. Of course, in 7, I guess it's version 11. A lot of the hardware that I work with at work only works through Internet Explorer. They're starting to phase it into where it works with Edge, but a lot of the I do a lot of network IP cameras for surveillance use, and some of the security systems I have access to reprogram things, they only work through Internet Explorer.
You don't have to apologize. It's okay. I know anybody using Internet Explorer is a little bit on the defensive these days, right? It's a So one thing you can do is reset Internet Explorer. Like, this is the first thing I would try. There's also a safe mode. But you could reset Internet Explorer, which would clear out any extensions.
I found that on Microsoft's site there was a thing you could run that would, basically set everything back to
yes.
defaults on Internet Explorer.
They don't make it easy. In other browsers, there's actually, in many cases, a menu command, but you have to kind of do a weird thing to get this to work.
I've set security levels down on stuff, and what's got me looking at if there was something going on in Internet Explorer.
Does it only happen when you put the mouse over the image, or is it there all the time?
No, it's not there, and then I can scroll down and then come back up the page, and then there might be one or two or three of those tabs popping up, and it doesn't pop up at the same position on the image. I could have two or three of them, one up in the upper right-hand corner, one in the middle, and one just randomly on the screen somewhere. And it doesn't matter if I'm in Facebook or, other sites that I'm on, that thing pops up.
So any site you go to.
What triggered me looking at digging in what's going on is a couple of weeks ago with the eclipse, I was setting up a camera outside, and it's one we use at work all the time. And I'm familiar with the hardware, and it kept saying, I didn't have a certain Java extension or something like that was coming up. But I can go on to some sites and log into cameras and of course it's funny all the stuff you can pick up on surveillance cameras on sites. So.
Yeah.
But
I know that's something we warn people about all the time. Those things, you get one of those things, you may be surprised at who's watching you. I'm looking at Internet Explorer. This is Windows 10, so it's a more recent version of IE, and I don't see that automatically happening. Although some have told me I'm looking at the chat room. They say, well, that could be a normal behavior on Internet Explorer. So I'm just not sure. It sounds like you've got something installed. It may even have been not something that you installed as a browser extension, but some application, a photo application you installed that added that to Internet Explorer.
Okay.
So I'm glad you called because, this in theory, we have a lot of people listening who may have experienced this. And maybe they can help. Some of them are saying, well, in Windows 7 Internet Explorer, this is kind of something that happens. I don't remember that ever happening. And it's not when your mouse is hovered over it. It's just when those images are on the screen.
I've been on the phone with you. I've had the mouse hovering over several pictures on Facebook, and it's not there. But I can scroll down and then maybe come back to that same image, a minute or two later, and it'll be there.
Well, it sure sounds like an Internet Explorer extension. So that would be one thing, is to look at what extensions are installed in your Internet Explorer. Make sure you don't have anything. Oh, wait a minute. Now, Tony's saying this might be the Internet Explorer display accelerator button on selection. Okay. So when turned on, you can click the accelerator blue arrow button. I don't think that's what you've got. Because this requires your effort to, and you're saying it's just popping up.
It pops up, and in the tab that shows up, it on the left hand side of it has an arrow pointing down.
Here's what I would. Yeah, that might be
on the right hand side of it. It has of the tab. It's got an X, and you usually have to click that two or three times to get it to close.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Internet Options, which mm-hmm. is of course the options for Internet Explorer, even though it doesn't say so specifically, and go into the Advanced tab, and you'll see a whole bunch of browsing extensions in there. And I would look at some of those, see if any of them click with what behavior you're having, but particularly look at the browsing extension that says display accelerator button on selection. That sounds to me like it might be related. Uncheck the ones you don't want. See if that works. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So this is the internet options and settings. Wow, that's funny. This feels so old-fashioned. This is a Windows 7 now. And you see, you have all these browsing features. I'm wondering if one of these is not in there.
Ready to play, Leo? Ready to play, Chris?
And you could... Oh, we have a recorded?
Yep.
You can... So we do have Chris Marquardt today. You can, as you notice in here, and you might try this, disable third-party browser extensions with a checkbox. So I would uncheck that maybe and see if that fixes it. This is actually going to be the place that you want. And under the Internet Options Control Panel, the Advanced tab, you're going to look at these checkboxes here, and something in there might click. There's also, of course, under the Programs button over here, you can control add-ons. So this is going to be, and then here's the Reset button in the control panel. So this is going to be your magic page here. Internet Options Control Panel, Programs tab, and Advanced tab. Take a look at what's in there. Coda Crew, Leo Laporte, the tech guy, talking about technology and in particular about photography. Ladies and gentlemen, the photography world has been rocked by the advent of better and better digital cameras. Soon Apple will announce its next generation iPhone, and all the world expects an amazing camera with a new format. Someday we should talk about this once it comes out, I guess. New format that Apple's going to adopt that's better, they say, than JPEG or GIF. It's smaller and higher quality and contains, if the camera can, a lot more information, a lot of the raw information. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm wandering. Hi, Chris. I'm just getting excited about this Apple event.
Is that Heath you're calling about? Yeah. Talking about Heath?
Heath.
Weird name.
Name. You know about it, though. High efficiency image format.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah. And I've not really looked that close into it, but apparently it can do video and audio, video and images and multiple
and
images.
And it can store raw data. So if, and you know, we're waiting. Apple's going to announce its phone any minute now, next week or so. And when they do, we'll learn more, I'm sure, about Heath and about the capabilities of its next camera. But it's going to be the first. It's a standard. But they're going to be the first company to do this.
And people won't really interface with it anyway. I mean, I think Apple does what it does well. It hides that complexity under the hood. And if you use your pictures within that phone, then it will use that format. But I believe what I heard is if you export it to an external destination, then it will on the fly be converted to JPEG and then be usable by whatever is outside of that ecosystem. Yeah. So I think that's what I heard. And it does make sense for now because I've never used Heath knowingly, at least.
Yeah.
So no one has, no.
I guess the theory is it'll replace, maybe replace JPEG, but we'll have
it
to
probably
see.
Will, yeah.
Most of the high-end cameras now do JPEG, and I don't see anything on the horizon besides the iPhone that's going to do Heath. So. But it's a standard. But that's not what you're here to talk about, unless it is. I guessed about it. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about something very. I mean, okay. This was triggered by an article that I read on Petapixel several weeks ago, and it's about traveling with photo gear. And this was a story.
Your timing is good.
Well, yeah, and it was a story of someone traveling with a Leica M10.
Oh.
And a Noctilux lens on the front. Oh. That's a very bright, very expensive 50 millimeter lens.
We're talking $10,000 or something here for the whole kit.
No. We're talking $10,000 for the lens and $7,000 for the camera.
Almost $20,000. Holy cow.
And that was not in the hand luggage, but that person
checked it
in.
No.
It was checked in and it arrived completely smashed. Because that sometimes happens with luggage, that it's not being treated that nicely.
You're breaking my heart here.
Well, yeah, and the article ends with the person sent it to Leica Service Center to see if anything could be done. I'm pretty sure something can be done, but the front element, the front lens is completely smashed, and you don't want that to happen. So I was just going to give you a few little hints about traveling with photo gear. And,
please.
Well, first of all, if you have to check in a camera and a lens, which I do not recommend, then the lens attached to the camera, that there's a breaking point right there between the lens and the camera. That's a weak link.
So take the lens off.
So if you have to, and that would be really worst case, then take those off, take them apart and store them separately, well wrapped, really well wrapped. One of the reasons I believe that happened was that it wasn't that well protected. I think what I read is it was in a medium soft case of some sort, which is probably not a good idea. Of course, as I said, put it in the cabin luggage. Do not check it in. I mean, a camera, I would first check the weight limits with the airline. How much can you take? Very often you can take your luggage plus one personal item, which could be a camera around your neck with a heavy lens on it. So you can often use that to get under that weight limit. I think often it's also okay. I think they don't weigh your jacket, so you might be able to put a lens in the jacket pocket.
I wear those crazy Scotty vest jackets with 100 pouches.
With a million pouches.
And if I ever get in trouble with weight limits, I just stuff it full, and I look like a giant, potato. But
you know what? You know what? I've seen a travel jacket that is made especially for that purpose.
Yes.
It holds, 30, 40, 50 pounds of luggage. It has inside pockets for everything. So, in a pinch, but at least a regular jacket can hold a couple of lenses.
Yeah. And the nice thing about doing that, by the way, is when you go through the airport security, you take off the jacket, you put it on the conveyor belt, and it all is well. It's really nice. It's like a photographer's vest. It's very handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I would, in general, only check in what I can afford to lose. For me personally,
yes,
that typically be something like a tripod, for example.
Yes.
It might be difficult to get that into the cabin anyway because it looks stabby. So you never know. But a tripod, I would even wrap that up some way. Usually, I don't bring the bag for it, like the bag that it came with. But I will wrap some jacket or some fleece jacket or a pair of pants or something around it just to make sure that it's kind of padded in there. And honestly, I've never had a real problem with that. Never happened anything.
I go so far as to get carry-on bags that are really camera bags so that my camera and lenses, if I'm going to go on a trip where I want to bring a lot of gear, and I do most of my photography on traveling, so I often will have a body or two, and
that
two
would be my
or
photo
three
backpack.
Lenses, and so that's a photo backpack or a photo bag, and then anything I need on the plane, or a toothbrush or a spare pair of underwear, I can have jam in the photo bag, because the gear is more important than that stuff.
Well, and if I have to check anything in anything photographic, I will rather use a duffel bag or something that doesn't invite nosy people. Just a very roughed up bag that I've used for years. I try to avoid checking things in that are in shiny Pelican cases.
This is a photo bag with lots of equipment in it. Steal me. Yeah.
I got years ago, I saw in a YouTube video, I think Chase Jarvis gave that tip, that they will send or check in things in Pelican cases if they have to, but they will put them in old duffel bags.
Oh, that's smart.
It doesn't look that
from the
outside.
The Pelican cases are nice because they protect your gear, but they also announce that something inside is valuable.
Usually they do, yes.
Yeah.
So that would be my tips for traveling with photo gear. Check in as little as you can, and if you have to, then try to pad it and make it look inconspicuous.
You said you have a photo backpack that you carry with you, a photography backpack. Do you want to share with the name of it? Or who makes it? Do you really like it? Do you want to tell people about it?
That's a good question.
I'll tell you what I use. I use something from Peak Designs, which My friend Trey.
Oh, that one is a nice one. Yes.
Yeah. And it, so the difference between a regular backpack and a photo backpack is the photo backpacks usually have Velcro dividers that you can reorganize to accommodate just the right size to hold lenses and bodies in place. And Peak Design makes a variety of photo bags, and including a backpack that will really, I think, protect your gear. But the nice thing about it is it looks like a backpack. It doesn't really look like anything too fancy inside. So it's a good way to hide it, I think.
I've seen some interesting ones now by a company called Evoc, EVOC, that seem to not really shout, I'm a photo backpack. So
interesting, yeah.
It might be a good idea to look into those, for example.
There's also a San Francisco company I use that makes bags that are intentionally look like you're a hobo. And and I think that's the whole point of that. Our photo competition, not really competition, assignment continues. Take pictures of shadows. Tag him with the word shadow, upload it to our Flickr group, the Tech Guy group, and in a few weeks, Chris will be back. He's on his way to Norway for an expedition. Find out more about his expeditions at discoverthetopfloor.com. Thank you, Chris. See you next week. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Thank you, Chris.
Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. If you are in the market for a new home, I know this is a big day, right? Sunday's the days everybody goes out and looks at open houses. Maybe you should just bookmark this on your phone. RocketMortgage.com/TechGuy. For a refi, RocketMortgage.com/TechGuy. For a new home, first of all, Rocket Mortgage connects you to Quicken Loans, the best home lender in the country. One of the biggest, but also one of the best. They really care about users. They have a huge variety of products to choose from. And what they do with Rocket Mortgage is remarkable because they can do the entire loan approval process online, on the phone, in minutes. So let me break that down. First of all, minutes, not days, not weeks. Last time I got a home loan, it took more than a month. I almost lost the house. But Rocket Mortgage, because it's completely online, does this, you know, computers. They're fast, instantly. The other piece to this puzzle is you don't have to, you know, go find all the paperwork, you know, your check statements and your pay stubs and all that, and fax it or mail it or bring it into them. They do that all, again, completely online. They've got trusted partnerships with all the financial institutions. So all you have to do is give them permission, give them some basic information. They know everything they need to know instantly. Again, this happens transparently for you. You know, Rocket Mortgage lets you apply simply. You understand everything that's going on fully, and then you can mortgage with confidence. Once they get all that information, and literally takes a minute or two, they will then offer you, based on your income, your assets, your credits, the right loan for you. You choose your term, you choose your rate, you press a button, and they say, approved. That's it. That's done. You're approved for a loan. You got it, baby. You can show the realtor, I'm approved. That's actually a very helpful thing. In today's market, where it's really a seller's market, coming in as a buyer already approved for the purchase price, that puts you right at the front of the line. Couldn't be easier, couldn't be happier. And if you've ever gone through this process before, as I have many times, this is such a revolution. They call it Rocket Mortgage because it lifts the burden of applying for a home loan. And nobody better to do this than Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. Actually, bookmark that now so you'll be ready. When you find that perfect house, rocketmortgage.com/techguy. They're an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Don't forget to bookmark it now, rocketmortgage.com/techguy. We thank them so much for making the Tech Guy podcast possible. Interesting conversation in the chat room with Ninik, who says the smartphones are history. He says they will be replaced by, let me see if I can find his phrase, which sounds a little like science fiction, PC, pocket PC, cloud-based devices. Well, that's really what a smartphone is, so that's not really saying anything. And mixed reality shells, that's interesting. That would be kind of HoloLens-style things. If standalone devices with ambient computing, and no idea what that means. So
Gizmo.
We'll all have our gizmos. Yeah, that's right. Gizmos from... Oh, you're ready? Have you finished it yet?
I'm about three quarters.
Yeah. So In Andy Weir's new book, we all have something like a smart watch, I'm imagining, but it's also a full computer. Because you touch it, it goes in your pocket, you touch it to things. I mean, I think that this form factor is not too far off.
What else could you do with it?
Well, you could wear it. The only change would be wearing it. I think what you want to have is a ubiquitous voice, but not replacing other forms of input. And I wouldn't mind wearing it in my glasses, or maybe you don't want it in a piece of clothing, because then this is really a pretty close to perfect form factor. Leo Laporte. Love me, please, I beg of you. The tech guy. No, I don't care. You don't have to love me. The tech guy is on the air. This is the show where we talk about technology. Reminder, of course, if there is any more news with the terrible, horrific fire in Los Angeles, Latuna Fire, and you're listening in L.A. to our great mothership, KFI, they will break in if there's any news, if there's anything to say. You're not missing anything. And, of course, news is coming up in about 15 minutes, so. You'll get an update on that. Biggest fire in the history of L.A. Terrific. Horrible. Please stay safe. We can't afford to lose a single listener. 8888. Ask Leo. Back to the phones. Let's talk to Brian in Indio. Hi, Brian. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
Pretty good. Still waiting to hear your selection for Kim's Song of the Day.
You know, I never do that. Should I pick the song of the day?
Well, yesterday it was Good Vibrations.
Oh, it was it? All right. Well, we'll find a song of the day today. I think that Marvin Gaye tune was pretty good. But anyway, what can I do for you?
I'm trying to learn more about this Echo.
Oh, yes.
It's got Bluetooth capability, right?
It does, and so what that means is you can use it as a speakerphone, basically. You could pair it to your phone, take calls on your phone, and use it, because it has very good microphones, as a speakerphone. Is that what you were looking for? You can't use it as a Bluetooth speaker. You can't say, play music through my Echo. You can only use it as a speakerphone.
I was wondering if I could use Bluetooth headphones with it.
No. Well, no. It's not that kind. It's like Bluetooth. Basically, it is Bluetooth headphones, I guess would be the best thing to describe it as. So you've got your phone. You pair it to your Amazon Echo. This is that device we've talked about all the time. What's revolutionary about it, frankly, is it's adding a speech interface. For a long time, I thought that computer, you know, what do we use for input devices for our computers? We use a keyboard, which is more than 100-year-old technology. It's almost 150-year-old technology, designed with completely different goals in mind, and yet we all know how the QWERTY keyboard works, so we're kind of tied to it. I mean, once you learn how to type, you don't want to change. We all know, or many of us know, there's a better keyboard layout, for instance, than the QWERTY, Q-W-E-R-T-Y layout we have. There's one called the Dvorak layout that's supposedly more efficient, but does anybody use it? You have to retrain your fingers. You have to relearn how to type. Nobody wants to do that. Why would you do that? QWERTY works fine, but it's ancient. The mouse, a little more modern. Well, it's only 50 years old, but it's actually a pretty good pointing device. And then now we've got touch and pens and other devices, but really, these are fairly antiquated input devices tied to a specific form factor of computing. When you saw the problem when we moved to smartphones, all of a sudden we have to use the same keyboard that was invented in the 19th century, but only a little tiny version of it on the screen. That's crazy. It's still QWERTY even. That's kind of crazy. And there have been some improvements like, you know, the swiping feature where you draw instead of tap, but those are minor. That's why I'm excited about voice. And for a long time, I really thought voice would be the new way we'd interact with our computers, much like Star Trek. Hello, computer. You know, talk to the computer. But there are problems with that. You sound like a crazy person, for one thing. In fact, we've all had phones you could talk to for some time, but do you talk to your phone a lot? Usually, you kind of don't do it in public. It actually doesn't work so well in public if other people are talking. My kids, for a while, really, this was such an annoying habit. When I'd start, you know, I'd go, hey, you know, hey, Siri, they'd start, and I could never give a command. In the car, when I try to talk to the car, you know, navigate to Arby's, people start talking and the computer gets confused. So voice is really, it's not perfect either. What I think is going to happen in the future, we're going to have more interfaces than just one, you know, and you'll use whatever's appropriate. But the revelation the Amazon Echo brought to us is that you can talk and get information. And there are certain things that talking is great for. First, use the Echo in the kitchen. Talking to it, you know, to set a timer for 10 minutes or how many cups in a quart, things like that. It was very useful. You can even have the Echo read you recipes. That's cool. Then maybe if you, as you start to use it, you start to learn, oh, I can play music with it. I can ask it for weather. I can ask it for news. I listen to my audiobooks on it. And you expand it out. And for that particular use, voice is perfect. I notice I don't use voice any more than I ever did on a computer or a phone. That's about the same. It just adds, in a certain environment, it makes a lot of sense. So that's really what the Echo is, Brian. It is a computer. It sits in your house. It understands a very limited set of commands, things like listen to Elvis music or read me from my book. If you're an audiobook user, you'll love it. I mean, you have to be audible.com. That's the Amazon audiobook service. And by the way, a sponsor of many of our shows. I am an Audible user. I have been since 2001. When I started with Audible, I was listening to books on tape, cassettes. Audible was great because I could get a device, early MP3 player, put a book or two on that, and that was a huge improvement. Then if it came along, I can do it on the smartphone, and now I can listen to it in my house. I could just say, read to me. And that's one of the reasons I have Amazon Echoes in every room of the house, because I want to get, when I get in bed, I could say, Echo, read to me. It'll pick up where I left off in my book. That is fantastic. It doesn't make sense to put Bluetooth headphones on an Echo, because it is a speaker, but you can make it work that way. You can have regular wired headphones and plug it in. There's a variety of Amazon Echoes, and one of them is the least expensive $45 Echo Dot, which has a little tinny speaker, but it's designed to be plugged into real speakers. It has a jack you could plug headphones into, or you could plug a Bluetooth dongle into it and listen to headphones, I guess. You can hook it up to speakers. That's what I've done, because the Echo speakers aren't great. The new Echo Show, which has a screen and actually much better speakers, is in my kitchen and in my offices. I have one here and I have one at my home office because it's just kind of perfect. It sits there. I can see it. I can watch stuff on it. If you're close to it, it's a 7-inch screen, so you want to be close to it. And I can ask it. You could ask it to watch this show. You could say, Echo, watch The Tech Guy on YouTube, and it would play the most recent episode. You could say, listen to The Tech Guy on TuneIn, you could hear the most recent episode. And that's not just my show. That's almost every radio show, almost every TV show. Anything that's on YouTube, for sure. So you could buy, I guess, and they make them, and Amazon sells them for under $20, a little Bluetooth device that plugs into a headphone jack, a.k.a. the back of the Echo Dot, and then puts it on Bluetooth, and you could listen on wireless headphones. So you could do it that way. If that's what your goal is, certainly you could do that. But really, I think the Echo is more designed to be kind of ambient. Like, it's just there in your house, and you talk to it, and it's connected to speakers, so you just hear what comes out of it as you move around. So the Bluetooth is a little deceptive, at least, and maybe I'm wrong. If I am, correct me. But my experience is, what I do is I pair my phone to it, and then when a call comes in, I can answer it on the Echo and use the Echo's very good microphone. They use there's 7 microphones in an Echo, the Ray microphones, and use that as a speaker phone. Actually, the Echo now, you can make phone calls to other Echoes only. Google's Home device, which is their Google's version of this, it uses the Google Assistant for its speech. It can make phone calls to any phone, which is really incredible. That's pretty cool. If you have I am going to stand corrected. Somebody's put a link to my friend Serenity Caldwell's, Lori Gill's article in iMore.com. You can connect your Apple AirPods or any Bluetooth headphones. If you have an Echo Show, you can pair it. Now, I don't know if that's true of other Echoes, but with the Echo Show, the one with the screen, let's try it. I could try this. Echo, pair my AirPods.
Searching.
Oh, now I have to get my AirPods out. Okay, so there you go.
Now connected to Pixel XL.
Oh, it's connected to my phone. That's not what I wanted. Let's try it again. Echo, connect to Boss's AirPods. Okay, I call myself Boss on the iPhone. Don't mock me.
Searching.
Don't judge
You're
me.
You're already connected to Pixel XL.
Yeah.
To connect a different device, go to the Bluetooth settings on your Alexa device.
I'll have to work on it and see. But that's cool. Okay, I stand corrected. At least with the Echo Show, you can pair it to Bluetooth headphones and listen to the audio that way. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. Amazon Echoes, 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. You can still call. Just use Skype Out or a similar product. Website, techguylabs.com. So, I think I stand corrected. Apparently, you can pair at least some Amazon Echo devices to Bluetooth headphones. The Amazon Dot, you can, and the Amazon Echo Show, you can. So, if you have Bluetooth headphones, you can, with some difficulty, because I've been trying to pair my Echo Show to my Apple AirPods through the entire break, you can, with some difficulty, get these things paired up. I'm not sure why you'd want to. I guess, well, yeah, if you really like listening on headphones, you don't want to bother your spouse or your friends or your roommates, you could use the Dot. You could say, hey, listen to Elvis, and then it would play through your headphones. Yeah, I guess that's a cool use for it. I have a Dot in the bedroom. I can listen to books and stuff like that. So that's possible. All right. I guess I could see why you might want to do that. And what I'm not clear on is which, if it's all Echo devices or just certain Echo devices. But we know for sure the Dot and the Show both will pair with Bluetooth headphones. They'll also pair in the opposite direction. You can, for instance, I paired it with my phone and I could play music from my phone into the Echo speakers. Yeah, I'm not talking to you. This is the problem with voice interfaces is it requires either a significant amount of trial and error or a deep understanding of what the machine is capable of ahead of time, which nobody's going to have, who reads manuals. And so a lot of people who have Echoes or Google's home device or Cortana or Siri don't really use it because they don't know what it can do, right? And each of them, by the way, has different skills. This week, Jeff Bezos, the CEO and founder of Amazon, announced that Amazon Echoes would now support Microsoft's speech assistant, Cortana. So now on an Echo, you can say, ask Cortana to do something, which is weird. You get two speech assistants in there, except that Cortana's skills are different than Echo's skills. Cortana's really good at interfacing with Microsoft products, for instance. And so what Bezos said, which I think is, well, at least an interesting vision of the future, maybe not how you'd want it. He said what he imagined is everybody would have many assistants, voice assistants, kind of like imaginary friends, and you'd address them by name. And you know that, well, this one's really good at buying movie tickets. This one's really good at baseball scores. And you just know, just as you do, you know, with your friends. Some of your friends are really into baseball. You'd ask them about, you know, was that a good trade? Some of your friends are really into movie making, so you'd ask them, hey, is this new It movie going to be good? You guys should do that with friends. This is one of the things humans are particularly well-tuned for, which is this kind of social interaction, knowing what our friends prefer and like. And in fact, sociologists have looked at this, and there's something called the Dunbar number, which is the maximum number of friends you can keep track of. And it's apparently 150. I think it's actually a smaller number. And when I say keep track of, I mean keep track of in that way. Oh, I know his grandmother has recently passed on. She's got two daughters, school-age daughters. He's really into movie making, that kind of thing. In a way, I think voice assistants are maybe kind of playing to our biology, our innate skills in dealing with people. You know, we prefer to deal with people than machines, right? Some of us don't. I like machines myself, but we are better. Let's say we're more skilled at dealing with people than machines. We kind of understand how people work. Machines may be a little puzzling. So you can see now why people might want a voice assistant, except that they're so machine-like. They aren't quite there yet. If they were like people, if it really were like Bob, my friend Bob in the machine there, and I know what Bob's good at, now that would be different. I have a different vision than Jeff Bezos. Maybe we'll see who wins. My idea is you have one voice assistant. This is kind of like that movie Her. Did you see that with Joaquin Phoenix? And his assistant was Scarlett Johansson's voice. Remember that? And if you haven't seen it, it's a really interesting take on the future of computing and voice assistants. People don't have smartphones anymore. They don't have computers. They just have a little earpiece they put in, and that connects you to your operating system. And that operating system understands your voice much better than Echo does, you know, like a human would, and, of course, has immense processing power. And he actually ends up, I don't think this is a spoiler, he ends up falling in love with her because she's kind of cute. She's Scarlett Johansson, for crying out loud. So... And she's got a cute little giggle and all this. But, of course, it's just a machine, but it's a machine very well designed to be like a human. And it would be inevitable if it were well done. You might kind of fall for it. My vision is that that's what's will happen. And instead of having a, you know, 20 friends that you talk to by name, like a crazy person, you'd have the one friend in your ear, and she would know to talk to the other people. You'd say, hey, Scarlett, find out when, you know, the movie is starting. And she would know. Well, I don't. She doesn't know that, but she knows who to ask. Let her deal with all these other people. I just want to talk to one person. What do you think? Which vision of the future? Jeff Bezos obviously has many friends, wide circle of friends, likes to talk to a lot of people. He's a CEO of one of the biggest companies in the world. It makes sense, right? He sits in his chair in his office and people, and that's how he works, right? People come in and he says, you do this, you do that. He knows what people's skills are. That's kind of his life. I am a sad, lonely radio announcer with no friends at all. So if one friend would be plenty for me, that's kind of how I'd prefer it. Maybe it's just a personality thing. Maybe you'll get to choose. I don't know. What do you think? 8888, ask Leo. Let's get back to the phones. On the line, Charisse from Lancaster, California. Hi, Charisse.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. Do you talk to your computers out loud?
Pardon me?
Do you ever talk out loud to your computers?
Yeah, I've done that. I have.
What do you think of it?
I use the voice assisted.
Yeah. Do you like it?
I do, yes.
Me too.
I do.
I think people find it frustrating because you have to get the right, you know, words and everything.
Yeah, that's true. It'll give you the wrong thing sometimes.
Siri often looks at me blankly, or at least I imagine that. I have no idea what you're trying to say, Leo. Anyway, what can I do for you, Charisse?
Okay, I want to know about the Note SE, and here's why. I was one of those Note 7 people that fell in love with the blue color. And, of course, they're not going to give us the blue in the Note 8. And furthermore, because I didn't upgrade to a Note 5, I just got a Note 4, they won't give me the deal with the 425.
Oh!
Yeah, so.
See, that's why I bought a Note 8, because I could get it for $400. Now, that's a very attractive device, isn't it? But I have
and
to trade in.
You
could trade in a Note 5 for a... But you had to have bought a Note 7. Did you buy a Note 7? Note 7?
I bought a Note 7, but the problem is I reverted back to my Note 4 when they made me give my Note 7.
No, so did I. That's fine.
No, but they wouldn't give me the discount. There was no option.
Well, you got to go to the Samsung page. They have to know about you. So
I did.
They knew about me because I had an account registered with a Note 7, so I entered my email, and they said, oh, yeah, you're eligible. Otherwise, you have to show them proof of purchase in some way. But if you bought a Note 7...
But I got that email. I got that email that said you're eligible. But when I tried to update it, you have to, you know, pick which one you're going to trade in, and the Note 4 is...
Oh, right. You have to have a suitable trade-in. That's right. See,
right.
Hold on a second, because we have to take a break. I have many phones. I'm going to trade in my Note 5. But I will talk about this FE when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Ladies and gentlemen, our show today brought to you by WordPress.com. I am a proud user of WordPress and have been since 2000. I started my first website around 2004, 2005 with WordPress. I was hosting it at the time, and one of the reasons I kind of temporarily gave up on WordPress is I didn't want to be – I was spending more time maintaining my WordPress installation than I was blogging. But that's why WordPress.com is so awesome. They do the hosting. And by the way, it was less than the hosting that I was paying for. And they keep it up to date. And they keep it running like a champ. Plus, you get the amazing advantages of the WordPress.com community. I love my WordPress, and you will too. If you're a business and you don't have a website, or you're struggling with a website that doesn't do what you want it to do or is too hard to use, please do me a favor and check out WordPress.com. You'll find out why 28% of all the websites, 28% of all the websites in the world, 28% use WordPress. It's, and by the way, you gain some of that benefit of that, because that means there's more tools that support it, more plugins, a richer developer community. Almost all your desktop, you can get a huge variety of desktop tools to post to WordPress. It just makes it easier for you. And WordPress is great. Hundreds of beautiful templates, built-in search engine optimization. You don't even think about that. Social sharing that really helps promote your business. Sure, you know what? You've got, I'm sure, a Twitter account and a Facebook account, maybe an Instagram account. And I bet when people search, well, do it. Search for your business. Go into incognito mode. Search for your business. See what people find. They probably find the Yelp review before anything else. That's why you got to have your own website. You know, Facebook can close your account in a heartbeat. Twitter, too. You don't want to have just those. You do want them, but you need to have a home that you control. That's WordPress.com. And by the way, whenever I post on WordPress, it's tweeted. It's Facebooked. It all. When people read something they like, they can share it on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. The business plan gives you not only access to hundreds of themes, but hundreds of plugins. I use the AMP plugin, the Google AMP plugin, so I load so fast on mobile. I love that. It's got HTTPS. It's secure. So, I mean, I can go on and on. It is great. And at WordPress.com, you're joining a lively community with access to expert, friendly support. Go right now to WordPress.com/TechGuy. Create your website and find the plan that's right for you. And they will give you 15% off that new website just because you went to WordPress.com/TechGuy. Create your own stunning vision of yourself without knowing anything about web hosting or websites. It's easy to use. It's easy to do. And you save 15% right now. You can even have a custom domain name, which you should have, and they'll help you set that up. You really should for your business. You know, don't let the Yelp page be the only thing your customers are seeing. Control your destiny with WordPress.com. Go to WordPress.com/TechGuy and get started today. I could answer you now, Charisse, because we're in commercial, but I don't want to, because I want everybody to hear. I want everybody to hear it. So I apologize for kind of putting you on hold here for another. But it won't be an hour this time. For another few minutes,
and I will. It's okay. It's okay.
I promise. I promise. Oh, so you never owned a suitable trade-in? They'll take iPhones. They'll take Galaxy S8s. They'll take. But you don't have a Note 5. You have a Note 4.
No, I'm a Note diehard Note fan. I only wanted a Note. I like the pen.
Right, but you don't have a Note 5.
I do not.
And they don't take a Note 4.
They won't take a Note 4. So I'm very angry with them.
You know what you can do? Somebody in the chat room is suggesting this. This is a little wild and wacky. You can buy a cheap Note 5.
See, I thought about that, but then by the time I buy the cheap Note 5...
I know. Well, here's how the deal works, the trade-in works, is... They're not going to send you a Note 8 until the 15th. And then I bet you're going to have 30 days to put the old phone in that packaging and send it back to them. So if you could get a – I'm seeing nice, modestly used Note 5s for $200. So that
– Yeah.
So now your discount's only $235. So that's not as good.
Right.
Right.
It's not the same. I'd rather get the FE.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, and we'll talk about that on the air, because that's going to be a little problematic. Okay. There aren't very many of them, and they're only selling them in South Korea.
No. I saw them on Newegg and on Amazon.
Right. Those are resellers, right.
That's what I wanted to know about. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And I guess I have to wait. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait for that. Because that's what I was going to tell you. You can buy it from a reseller. Yeah. I think there's no reason not to buy it. It's a little expensive.
They're expensive, but I'll just ask a question. And I'll ask it again online.
Okay.
Will it work with AT&T?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
You have to get, you're going to get an unlocked and international version, but you have to get the GSM one.
Okay.
And it'll work fine. In fact, it will be an unlocked phone, which means it'll work with any carrier.
Okay. Yeah.
It depends which one you buy. But you can get them to work. They're international versions because obviously they're only selling in Korea, so it's really the Korean version. But they should work fine with AT&T.
Okay.
Let me look at. I'm going to have to see what this is. Gets to be very complicated, where you have to see what radio bands it supports.
But I'm on the one on Newegg. It's blue.
Let me look at it on Newegg. So they have the Orchid in the U.S. Is that what you mean by the blue?
Blue?
You want the bright blue. Okay. Man,
yes.
You are picky.
I that's why I fell in love with a smartphone, because of that blue color.
I agree. They were very smart to start doing these. Let me see. Newegg. Let's look here. Oh, yeah, that's pretty, pretty fan edition. 826 smackers. Wow.
Yeah. But I'm going to pay, $200 more for a new Note 8, which won't be my color, so.
Yeah, interesting. This looks like it would work fine, but when you really get down to it, it's complicated. What you have to do is go to GSM Arena and see what bands it supports. So let's do that real quickly. Note FE and look at it on GSM Arena because they have the specs. They tell you what radio bands this supports. And then you go and you find out what radio bands AT&T needs for LTE and HSPA and GSM. And you make sure that it's compatible with all those bands. Hold on. Here we go. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. On the line with Charisse, who has an interesting conundrum. She's a Note fan, Galaxy Note fan. Who isn't, really? I mean, these are great phones. I've owned every single one, going back to the very first one, back to the days when people mocked me for having such a giant phone glued to my ear. They said, what is that? Is that a, are you holding up lumber? What is that? No, this is my Note 8. It's got a stylus, giant screen. It's too big. Now everybody wants a big phone. All the phones are big. Samsung, of course, had to recall the Note 7. Little problem with blowing up. No big deal. But remember, they recalled a lot of phones, probably more than 100 million phones. You may wonder, well, what did they do with all those phones? Well, even though they have a new Note, they are reselling the Note 7s with smaller batteries because that was the problem. In other words, the ones that didn't blow up. And by the way, you turned yours in, right, Charisse? I turned mine in.
It was working fine.
Mine was too. You could be buying your own phone back from them. The problem is they call these the fan editions. The assumption is you're so nutty that you're such a fan that you would buy this phone that is, the laughing stock of the world because they blew up. But you know what? Mine never did have a problem. I hated to give it back. I loved my Note 7. So they're only made 400,000 of them, this fan edition. I don't know why, given they probably have millions they could recycle. And they're only selling them in South Korea. But you have cleverly searched and found sites like eBay and Amazon and Newegg that are reselling them. They buy them in South Korea and they sell them. They are not cheap. In fact, they're awfully close to a Note 8. So my first question is, why don't you just buy a Note 8? Because she likes,
you know me.
She likes blue. She likes blue.
What's blue?
You're not the Orchid, because the Orchid was pretty, but that's kind of a lighter blue. You want a blue blue.
Yeah, the coral blue.
Coral blue. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you can get that. Okay, so I'm looking at Newegg fan edition, $826. That is $4 less than a brand new Note 8. Now I presume this is going to be brand new, because it's basically they took the phone they got back that was probably unused And they took a battery out and they put a smaller battery in. And they're going to certify that. Nothing bad's going to happen with that. I'm looking at eBay and I see them for a little bit less, $753. So, yeah, you could do that if you care more about Blue than you do about getting the latest, greatest. I'll tell you, though, the Note 8 has some additional features. The cameras are much improved. They have dual cameras now, both of them with optical image stabilization. They have a wide-angle one and a long one, a telephoto-ish lens. They're going to do some interesting things with the camera app that let you mix images from both, giving you a portrait mode with a blurred background and an in-focus foreground or vice versa. They also have added new features with the stylus. For instance, you can take notes without unlocking the phone for up to 100 pages. Some people, that's a real desirable selling point, by the way. They loved it that they could just take out their phone, take out the stylus, and start writing. But essentially, it's going to be much like the Note 7 with a few features. It also will have a smaller battery than the Note 7 did. So you don't mind. Well, you'd save $80 or something like that. So yes, you could do that. Your question was, will it work on AT&T?
Yes.
Will it work on AT&T? If you get the GSM one, it should.
Okay.
It's kind of complicated to figure this out. What you need to know, you're going to get the Korean version, obviously. That's the only kind being sold. But I don't think it will allow you to put it in English, I'm sure. I've used Korean. You know, when I was really in a hurry to get phones that weren't being sold yet in the U.S., I'd buy international editions or Korean editions. I had a South American edition of one of the Notes, I think. And they're fine. You just set the language properly and everything works fine. The issue is that the radio frequencies are different in different countries. So there is, you know, GSM and LTE exist, but maybe they don't use exactly the same frequencies in Korea. My sense is that they do. And that these should work fine in AT&T. The only thing that might happen is sometimes, well, it happens with T-Mobile a lot. T-Mobile has an 800 megahertz radio that a lot of phones don't have. So you have to get a T-Mobile edition on T-Mobile. And it doesn't mean it won't work. It'll still get phone calls. It'll still get data. It just won't get one particular kind of high-speed data. But I don't think that's going to be an issue with these. If you really want to verify it, you can go to a site like GSM Arena and look at the radio frequencies that the Korean edition of the phone supports. You'd have to find that particular edition and see what bands it supports and then see if AT&T has, you know, supports those bands and if they're bands that AT&T uses that aren't supported by that phone. And again, it will almost certainly work for voice and data. It just may be an issue of it doesn't have every data band or something like that. So how much is it selling for?
Like $826. I've seen it for $899.
Well, first of all, you can get a brand new, not Blue, Note 8 and put it in a blue case for $830. Put it in the blue case.
No, it's not going to be $830. It's going to be more than that. You know, the tax and all that. It's going to be $1,000.
So AT&T, here's what you're looking for. Thank you, chat room. Web8040 says AT&T uses band 13 for 4 gigahertz LTE at 700 megahertz. So you want to check to see if that phone supports band 13, 700 megahertz LTE. That's what you're looking for.
Chat room is awesome. Thank you.
Aren't they amazing?
So are you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's I'd be surprised if it didn't work. Because the Korean bands are pretty similar. But that's the issue. That would be the only issue.
And I'll probably just use it till the Note 9 comes out.
In a year. I'm getting the Note 8, and I don't care. I'm getting it black because that's all I could get unlocked. That was the only color they're selling unlocked. But see, I was able to get the discount, which you aren't able to get because you don't have the proper phone to trade in. They're taking a limited subset of phones to trade in. But if you have, if you bought, for instance, a Note 5 and you want to trade that in, or an S8 and you want to trade that in, or even some iPhone, late model iPhones, you can get $435 off the Note 8, which makes it, at a $400 phone, is a pretty good deal for that quality. So that's what I did. I wasn't even going to get the Note 8 because there's so many other phones coming out I have to get, including the new Pixels, the new iPhone, the new LG phone. I mean, I'm going to have phones galore. My family loves me because they all get hand-me-downs, but or my staff. There, you know, I'll walk down the hall and I'll see somebody using an old cracked iPhone and I'll say, you don't want that. And I'll give them a new phone because I have all these phones. They're just, I'm like, they're falling out of my pockets, I guess. But I have to review them all, right? So that's why. But I think I wasn't going to get the Note 8 because I thought, well, I'll let somebody else review that one. But that $400, it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
Get a blue case and a new one. Please.
But I can't get the discount.
Oh, but you won't get, you're not saving any money. It's going to end up costing you more, I bet. What? Price it out and see if you, paying full price for a Note 8 at AT&T, if that is going to save you, if the FE, the fan edition, is going to save you any money. I bet it won't. I bet it won't. 8888, get a blue case if you like blue. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I remember that song. Herbie Hancock, right? Leo Laporte.
This year, thousands of victims are going to be
tech guy. This is, you know, when synthesizers first, it always happens. When synthesizers first came out, people did all crazy things with them. When we got fonts on our computers and our printers, remember when the Macintosh and the LaserWriter came out? We did all sorts of crazy things. Every letter looked like a ransom note because they used 24 different fonts. When people get a new technology, they kind of go, they don't really know how to, they don't have any taste yet. Let's put it that way. They don't know how to use it. So they just go crazy with it. This is an early example of synthesizer. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You know, auto-tune. Remember Cher's Believe? That was one of the first, I think that was the first popular song using auto-tune. Not using auto-tune secretly, because I'm sure it had been used for years secretly to make singers sound on key. But Cher used it publicly with, you know, to do weird effects. And now, and then everybody used it. You heard auto-tune everywhere. You're a young person, Michael Cozy, our musical director. Do they still, a lot of the hip-hop songs still use auto-tune, or is that kind of, oh yeah? All right. Nothing but. See, you get a new toy, you got to play with it. That's the rule in technology. 8888-ASK-LEO. I did a little research. Oh, this is so crazy. If you should never have to worry about this. This is why most people will buy a cell phone from the company that they're going to use as their carrier. AT&T supports 4G, HSPA, and HSPA Plus on Band 5, 850, Band 2, 1900, LTE Band 17 at 700 megahertz, Band 5 at 850 megahertz, Band 2 at 1900 megahertz, Band 4 at 1700 and 2100 megahertz. Okay, so you get that, you write that down. Then you go and you look at the specifications of the phone you're interested in. And you see, does it support the bands that AT&T expects? This is, again, this is why you buy it from AT&T and you just let them worry about it. If AT&T put their brand on it, it presumably works. But there's a whole bunch of enthusiasts and people like Charisse who say, no, I'm going to buy my phone overseas or, you know, on the black market or whatever, gray market. Then it's up to you to figure it out. LTE band 17, 5, 2, and 4 looks like that's not a problem for that Note FE. Should work just fine on the AT&T network. Whew. Crazy. Yep, but somebody's asking in the chat room, does it use the same processor? No, it doesn't use the Qualcomm Snapdragon that the American version of the Note uses. It uses an Exynos processor that Samsung makes. They use Qualcomm in the U.S. because Qualcomm has the patents on CDMA radios. So if they want to work seamlessly on U.S. networks, including Verizon and Sprint, they need to use the Qualcomm radios. But outside the U.S., they just use their own processor, their own radios. Jim, Orange County, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Whoa. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I was listening to you yesterday. You were talking about Sonos, and I've been a Sonos fan thanks to you for a while now. And I don't know where we're going with Sonos.
I don't know either. This morning, my wife says, okay, you want to sell the Sonos stuff on eBay? I said, not yet, honey. Let's wait. October 4th, Sonos is having an event. They'll announce their what's going to happen in the future.
Okay. I'm at a point where I'm going to do a home theater setup, and I'm just wondering if I should hold off, wait, see what's going to happen, Because I don't have the sound bar or the subwoofer yet, but
yeah, I would. If I were you, I wouldn't buy. I mean, you can wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I wouldn't buy any Sonos. Well, actually, it's a month, isn't it? I wouldn't buy any Sonos gear for a month, only because you want to hear what the new gear is. We've seen an FCC filing from Sonos on a new Play 5 speaker,
okay,
which is their kind of their main product. It's the big speaker, and that will have Array mics in it. So that means they're expecting to do voice recognition on that speaker.
So they want me to start talking to this thing now, right? So
well, now you don't. If you don't care about that, well, that you know that doesn't matter. But it does. But you know, then you'd say, well, I don't care about that. I'm going to buy the sound bar and all of that. But maybe because they're adding this new capability, they'll revise all the speakers.
Yeah.
And if they do. Well, even if you don't care about voice, then you can get the old ones at a deal. So, in other words, it may not be a good time to buy, even if you plan to buy for sure.
Right.
And we use, by the way, we love our Sonos home theater. You have the sound bar, a subwoofer, and then you have the surrounds, which you can use the little Play Ones as the surrounds. And it sounds great. It was very easy to configure. It's everything's wireless except the sound bar, which connects to your TV and sits right next to your TV.
Yeah.
That's a very nice system.
Oh, okay, good.
So I think that if any, at the very least, you might expect to see a reduction in price in a month.
So, well, nobody wants to see that, right?
Well, I do worry about Sonos. Yeah. You know, Sonos, it was kind of a niche product because it was so expensive.
Right.
But it was the best way to listen to internet radio, and you could have party mode.
Fantastic, yeah.
I know, and the speakers are great, and if you do party mode, the whole house sounds, you know, can play the same songs. I use them at parties all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But they didn't do voice, and that seems to be the future. And more concerning is the fact that Apple and Sony and a number of other companies are coming out. In fact, Amazon's Echoes even do this now, coming out with speakers that do exactly the same thing, the party mode. Yesterday on our show, The New Screensavers, we tested Amazon Echo's party mode. It was flawless. We had five Echoes playing the same song. There was no latency on any of them, no lag. It sounded great.
Good quality sound and everything.
Well, no. Okay.
Okay.
But it could be good or it could be bad or it could be better. If you just use the sound that comes with an Echo, you know, not great. But if you get an Echo Dot for $40 and connect it to your stereo, you could have $20,000 speakers connected to it.
Right.
And then it would be better than the Sonos.
Yeah.
So the one advantage Amazon has is the dot is the enabling technology. That's $40, and you can put it on any speakers you want. So you don't have Sonos. You have to use Sonos speakers. Actually, that's not true either, because they make a Kinect device that'll connect up to your stereo.
Right. There's a bridge, and I used to use that in my old house. It was before they came out with the TV or home theater type products. So I had it hooked up to a home theater system, and it worked great. You know, with that bridge.
Yeah.
But, I sold that house and I had left most of that stuff behind. So now all I'm left with is Sonos. That's all I have. And
well,
I
it's
really
fine.
Like it,
you know? You and I are of an era where you'd buy a stereo system. And if you wanted to get fancy, you'd buy components and everything was separate. And you'd have so if you still had one of those, connecting a Sonos bridge to it made a lot of sense.
Right.
But Sonos is so much, you know, most of the rooms in my house don't have a stereo in them. They have a couple of Sonos speakers.
Right, exactly.
And it sounds great.
I know. I think it's fantastic. So, my heart was hurting yesterday when you said something bad about it, and I just was thinking,
I don't have anything bad to say, except I worry about them.
Right, okay.
And they frankly missed the boat when speech came out. How important is that going to be? I don't know. Those of us who spent a lot of money on Sonos are still going to be using Sonos.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, you know, my wife says we could sell them and get something else. Well, I don't know.
What else is there?
Right. Well, watch this. The one to watch is going to be this new Apple HomePod.
Okay.
It's going to the people I've talked to who've heard it, I have not, but they've gone to the Apple event where they announced it in June, said its sound quality was remarkable. They said Apple put it next to a Sonos. They said it sounded every bit as good, if not better, smaller, voice controlled, and it does something the Sonos doesn't do, which is interesting, which is you buy as many as you want in a room and it auto shapes the music to fit the acoustics of the room automatically.
Oh, wow.
Sonos has kind of a feature like that.
Right, they do. I've just done that recently.
Yeah, but you can't just put an arbitrary number of Sonos speakers in a room and have them automatically shape the sound. Apparently, we'll see. It's not out till December. Apple's going to do something like this. If they do, It's not a cheap solution, but I would bet there's a lot of overlap between the Apple fan community and the Sonos fan community.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, the biggest threat.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your feedback.
Stick with your Sonos. You love it. And watch, because next month they're going to have big announcements that could change the whole thing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Auto-tuned now for your listening pleasure. Last segment of the show. I can't believe this weekend went by so fast. We'll have lots to talk about next week. New phones, new computers. There's a whole bunch of new stuff being announced in Berlin this week at IFA. Lots to talk about. So make sure you tune in every week. And of course, if you're a hankering for tech talk any other time during the week, I have this podcast network. It's my day job. We produce 25 shows about technology. I do shows about Windows and security and Macintosh and iOS and news and all that stuff. You can find my podcast network at twit.tv. There's free. You can download them, listen anytime, audio and video, twit.tv. Back to the phones we go, and Bruce in Pasadena. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, Leo.
You staying safe from the La Tuna fire, I hope?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't get over here.
Yeah. Can you see it from where you are?
No.
I was talking to my boss at KFI, and she says you go on the roof of KFI, you could see Burbank, you know, the fire coming down the hill. It's scary.
I see a lot of ashes coming down, though.
Well, yeah, the smoke and ash is terrible. Terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, stay safe, okay, Bruce?
Great. Sure will.
What can I do for you?
Yeah, you know what? The lithium ion batteries in iPhones, Apple said that it's safe to operate between 0 and 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's true of all lithium-ion batteries.
Right, right. And I understand that with lithium-ion batteries, heat will degrade the lifespan
That's
of
right.
the battery.
That's right.
And so,
here we are above 95 degrees, aren't we?
Oh, way above.
Yeah.
When you factor in the humidity, I think in Pasadena it's probably about 115 or something.
Well, fortunately, lithium-ion doesn't care about the humidity, just the temperature. So the feels like doesn't matter. You can look at the raw temperature. I would say the main thing, and by the way, iPhones, if it gets too hot, they will shut down. So if you do get to the point where it's way beyond its tolerance, it will shut down.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons you don't leave it in the window or in the dashboard when you leave your car and stuff
right.
like that. But if you just are using it normally and you're keeping it in the shade, you're not sitting out there in the sun, you're fine. But it's smart enough to shut down. In fact, most phones, I would imagine, have circuitry to do that to protect the battery. I was talking with a friend about the Teslas, which, of course, run on lithium-ion batteries. And he said a lot of the circuitry in a Tesla is there to protect the battery. When I went out to my car yesterday, it was 107 degrees here in Petaluma, and I went out, my car was making a ruckus. It had the fans going full blast outside. You could hear it, and its whole job was to keep those batteries cool.
Now, the iPhone doesn't have, you know, any fans in it. It's
no.
small, right?
No.
So I would imagine all the components are rated so that...
That's right.
You know, they're going to operate and not be affected by anything, you know, less than, I mean, it's probably got to go up to like 150 or 200
That's right.
degrees.
The processors are actually less sensitive to heat than the lithium ion. That's the most sensitive device in your phone is the batteries itself. The processors and everything can go up to 200 degrees. They can get very hot in most cases.
Right.
So when you see an iPhone shut down, it's really shutting down because of the batteries. It's shutting down to protect the batteries, and it will do that. So just, you know, don't...
I was, you know, what I've been doing is I've been, when I'm not using the unit, in fact, sometimes when I have something processing and it's taken a while, I think that the lower the temperature is, it may make it work a little better. So I stuck it in the refrigerator.
Well, notice, Bell, and this is an interesting point also. They have a lower limit, too, and it's not that cold. Lithium-ion batteries don't do well below freezing.
No, yeah. It's about like 40 degrees in the vegetable compartment in my room.
Yeah, that's about as low as you'd want to go. I have a friend who the bigger problem in refrigerators and freezers is condensation. You don't want moisture to condense on that device, okay?
Right,
so seal it up.
A plastic, hefty
Yeah, seal it up before you put it in there. I have a friend who, when he finds a technology he likes, Steve Gibson, our security guy, he freezes it. He bought seven. Now, see, maybe it was a mistake to do this, but he bought seven Palm Pilots because he liked them so much, and he froze them in his freezer to protect exactly what you say, to protect the battery from degradation. But I don't think he's ever going to take those out of the deep freeze. I think times have passed that device by. So it's a very good question. I'm glad you asked, Bruce. It's a very good question. With the heat we're having, should we worry? You don't need to. You don't need to take extra precautions. You don't. I mean, but don't leave it in the sun. Don't let it get any hotter. It's within its operating. If a human can survive, it's probably okay. But you probably don't want to overwork it. Don't get it any hotter. And certainly don't let it sit in the sun. Keep it in the shade. Heat is not great. In fact, as Lawn Dog's telling me in the chat room, ask any construction guy how long his battery packs when he leaves them in the trunk. And they get hot. It'll degrade them. It degrades the chemistry. So it is a good idea to protect your stuff. I'm not sure I'd leave it in the crisper. But it is a good idea to protect your stuff from those excessive heat and excessive cold. Not good either way. Cecil in Hemet, California. Hi. Is it Cecil or Cecil? What do you like?
Cecil.
Cecil. Hello, Cecil. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Leo?
I am fantastic. What can I do for you?
Good. Well, I had a problem with uploading and downloading from Spectrum, and they came out, put a new modem in, or router in.
Yeah.
And the guy was telling me about if I got a Nighthawk that I wouldn't have to, I could cancel my internet and just pay for the modem.
No, it's the other way around. you can't cancel your internet. The Nighthawk is a Netgear router, which I use, a very nice router. What he was telling you is when you get internet service from a cable company, it's also true of a DSL company, they have to give you at least a modem that you hook up to that connection that translates it into Ethernet connectivity. But they often will also give you a router. A router is a device that you have in your home that allows you to share the internet with multiple devices. And nowadays, nobody just has one computer or one smartphone. You've got phones, you've got computers, you've got laptops, you've got TVs. You've got a live 40, I just checked 42 devices connected to my router at home.
Oh, wow.
So you can use the router that Spectrum provides. What the guy's telling you, though, is you're paying probably $5 to $7 a month rental on that router. So what he was telling you is you could say, I don't want the router that you provide. I will provide my own. Frankly, with most cable companies, I'm sure it's true of Spectrum, you can even provide your own modem and save the rental. The one thing you can't give up is the internet access. That's how you get that stuff. But you can use different hardware. And in fact, I do. I use my own modems. You can check for a list of approved modems from Spectrum. And I use, and a Nighthawk router is a very good one. There are a great many routers you could use that will be probably better than the one that you rent. And it certainly will save you money over the long haul. Out of time. Thank you for joining me. See you next time. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on. And on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.